You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Ravens Weekly Podcast. My name is Matt Hall. This is episode 88, which in other words means we're 12 episodes away from 100. How amazing is that? And as always, I'm joined by the very well prepared Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we?
I'm very well, thank you.
And very well prepared as well, as we say. Now, we're going to get started with today's episode, talking about the two games that we've had in the past week. They've both been home games, of course, and both ended a little bit differently. I think most of you will know that by now. The first of which was Kingsley in Town on the Saturday. And Jeff, it was something of a goal fest, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah, let's start with the crowd, though, first, Matt. Almost 2,000, which is an absolutely fantastic effort, I thought, you know. Fair play to Kings Lynn, they brought 50-60, but you know, almost 2,000 of our own fans, and it was a really great atmosphere, and it certainly played its part in the game, Matt. Like you say, having to come back from behind twice, it was a fantastic atmosphere, especially in that second half, attacking that north stand end.
It was, and it almost felt like an evening game, didn't it, in the second half?
Well,
because
the end,
it gets dark really early, the floodlights were on, it kind of felt like a Tuesday night, didn't it?
It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. So obviously, like you say, Jeff, Bromley going behind very early on, 5 minutes in, equalising through Michael Cheek. Of course, in the second half, going 2-1 down, pretty much the same amount of minutes into the second half before drawing level and then going on to win it. An entertaining game on the pitch. I think Andy in his post-match interview was clear he wasn't happy with the level of performance and just mentioned that the team didn't want to get into a habit of going behind in games to then have to pull themselves back.
I know we're obviously going to hear from Andy later in the podcast, but obviously for now, Matt, let's catch up on the action from the evening.
Here's Omoteo dropping deep there. Kingsland looking to come forward here with Davis. Davis getting the right side of Arthurs, not able to knock it beyond him yet. Still Davis here, gets beyond Arthurs and just runs it out of play. That was well out of play there. Davis into the box and shoots into the goal, and it's a goal. And Kingsland have the lead here. And that one looked to have gone well out of play. But it's the visitors who take an early lead. Coulson takes it round Barrows, crosses the box towards Cheek, and that's a brilliant goal. And Michael Cheek nods in Luke Coulson's cross, and Bromley a level. A brilliant move, a wonderful cross from Luke Coulson, and Michael Cheek doing what he does best, back amongst the goals, Dan.
Yeah, really happy for him, obviously a few games without a goal. Brilliant drive at the defence down the right-hand side from Forster. Good clip to the back post. Coulson keeping it alive. Good ball back across, and Cheek didn't have to move. Free header, and Bromley a level.
Here is Barrows with a heavy touch. Trotter gets in there but can't get it away from him. Barrows with the shot, and that's a fantastic goal from Ross Barrows. What a brilliant volley that was. And Bromley concede again early in the second half, like they conceded early in the first, and they're behind again, Dan.
Wow, what a strike. Just fell to him nicely. Bouncing ball, looping over Cousins. Cousins no chance.
Bush with this one then. Delivery in towards the back post, and it's into the net. Surely it's a lobby who equalises, getting in there at the back post, and James Alabi slots home. We thought it had gone in, it was blocked on the line, but no mistake from James Alabi, the super sub once again. Comes out to Bush. Bush going to take on Fernandez here. It is Bush, drills the ball into the box, it's safe, comes towards Cheek and scores, and Michael Cheek puts Bromley ahead. Bromley ahead for the first time this afternoon, and it's two goals for Michael Cheek. Brilliant. Well, a really entertaining game of football, Jeff, as you say, for a really good crowd there, all things considered. An entertaining game for them. Andy disagreed with that. He'd much rather have had it done the simple way, I think he said, the straightforward way. But Bromley got the 3 points in the end, which was fantastic. And move on.
It set us up nicely for the Tuesday, like you say, mate, against Yeovil. No, it's going to be a tough test. But obviously, we had some fantastic news in the week before that on the Monday, in fact. And that was obviously the news that Marcus Sabler has signed a new contract.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic talent, hasn't he, Marcus Sabler? He's been phenomenal since he's come into the first team. I think it was clear to see last year in the FA Youth Cup run with the under-18s that he is quite some player and has a lot of ability, a lot of natural ability and flair. He was introduced in pre-season, obviously, did really well, scoring a few goals, and started to really feature prominently in Andy Woodman's plans. And I think it's all characterised by the goal he scored against Torquay. And just that clip, Jeff, I remember it going on Twitter and it just went viral, didn't it, the goal?
Absolutely brilliant.
Amazing. Say,
it was so good to see as well. And for it to be at home as well and live on telly, you literally couldn't have wrote it.
Couldn't have picked a better moment, could you? But congratulations, of course, is in order to Marcus. And we caught up with him on the day. Here's what he had to say. Marcus, congratulations is in order to you. You've just signed a new contract at the club. You must be delighted.
Yeah, I'm very happy. You know, the gaffer's put a lot of trust in me since the academy, seen me go up. And now it's just brilliant to sign my new contract.
And it's important as well for the guys and girls in the academy to see that they can make it through to the first team as well and follow in your footsteps.
Yeah, of course. My journey had a lot of ups and downs and now I'm here and the hard work didn't go unnoticed. So I'm happy that the gaffer and the management team have seen it. And there's always a pathway from the academy into the 23s and up into the first team.
And I was just going to touch on the under-23s there. That was an important part of your development as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. Last year, after our under-18s, during the end of the season, I started playing under-23s. Steve put me in. I played a few games, scored in a few, and then started progressing a lot from there because it's different from under-18s football. It's more physical and it requires more focus.
And you started playing in the first team in pre-season and you got a few goals actually, didn't you? That must have been a brilliant stepping stone into the National League action for you.
Yeah, it was good for me to get a few goals because I feel like it boosted my confidence, and then from there I was able to actually get a hold of the first team and then be a part of it.
It must have been a different experience when you made your competitive debut. How did you feel? What was the feeling on that day?
I was really nervous. Like my mouth was really dry. it was hard because it was a different type of games from the pre-season games. But I felt like I did well. The management team were happy, and then from there, I've been just progressing up and onwards.
And one of the things that we have to talk about is the goal against Torquay on TV. A brilliant time and a brilliant way to score your first competitive goal. What a stunning goal it was.
Yeah, I was really happy with my goal. Just don't know how it went in, but I managed to pull it off. But my family is so proud of me. Everyone's really happy, and everyone at the club just buzzing for it. It's just, yeah.
I was going to say, your family are down here at all of the games, getting behind you, aren't they? That must be really nice for you.
Yeah, my family's really supportive. Like, they've, from when I was young, they've always driven me to every training session, every match. So it's just, I'm happy to have them behind me, and they're really supportive.
And things are going well at the moment in the season for the first team. What are your personal aims for the rest of the season?
Yeah, the first team are doing really well, to be honest. So we just got to keep going, and personally, I think we can get promotion.
And it must have been brilliant as well for you, particularly in your transition into the first team, to have the older players to look up to and for them to be able to mentor you as well.
Yeah, of course. People like Billy Bingham, Trotz, they really help me on my journey, because whenever I come out to train and maybe I don't do a few things right, they'll tell me, oh, could have done this, could have done that. They're really guiding me, even the management.
Well, Marcus, thanks for your time. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Great to hear from Marcus there, Matt, and again, another Academy product.
Absolutely fantastic, and the Academy is really producing some great talent. I think that's on show in the recent FA Youth Cup performances, and the fact that 2 years in a row now the FA Youth Cup side have really lit up the stage that they're on. Under-23s have been phenomenal as well, a lot of players from the Academy in that. And of course, you know, we compare Marcus to the likes of Liam Vincent, who obviously came through the club's Academy youth section as well, from under-14s, I think it was, and has obviously played on that stage in the FA Youth Cup, worked his way into the first team at the back end of last season, and then got his move to Portsmouth. So great that Marcus has signed the deal.
Yeah,
and
Marcus was in that FA Youth Cup squad.
He was, yes.
I don't think he featured that day at Portsmouth, but those previous games and the game following, I think, was it Swindon?
Swindon, he played,
part,
yeah.
Of that FA Youth Cup squad as well again. Mm. So, like you say, a number of players just, you know, coming of age now and being given that opportunity. And like you say, to be rewarded with a contract, absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. And we've seen that Andy Woodman is really willing to trust the young players and the talent on show at the club. And I think it's only a matter of time now before we see the next one break through. So really, really exciting times. And obviously credit to all the coaches and the staff in the academy for creating and nurturing that talent.
Absolutely brilliant. But before we move back to First Team Affairs, Matt, we're going to talk about the community scheme. And obviously we've had a fantastic day here on Tuesday. Before all the excitement of the evening and Bromley versus Yeovil, the day started as early as 8 o'clock.
It did, yeah. So we were absolutely delighted to host two different tournaments here with local primary schools on Tuesday. We started off in the morning with an SEN tournament, which for those of you that don't know is special educational needs. And we were delighted to have eight schools turn up for that, which was fantastic. And it was really, really nice to see these pupils being given the opportunity to play at the football club, and they absolutely relished it. So big thank you to the Bromley School Games, Kim and Delith, who have been fantastic. Honor and Adam from our community coaches as well were helping out on the day. They were fantastic, and it was really, really nice to see. Heartwarming.
Big shout out to the academy students as well.
Absolutely, in the afternoon,
the games and helped organise the games. They were a big help to all the coaches and the teachers on the day.
They were brilliant. The seven academy pupils who helped couldn't have done any more. They were really getting into it. They commanded the respect from the kids, and it was a great experience for them as well. So big thank you to them. In the afternoon, we had 21 primary schools on the stadium pitch. You can see a video actually on our socials of what happened on the day, how it unfolded.
It was a brilliant sight, wasn't it? Just the energy,
amazing.
Just the energy about the place in the afternoon,
and this is
the kids, and you had. Because all how many teams were going on? There was eight teams playing at one time.
Yeah, so there were four matches at once,
and they were all in the south stand and in the main.
Yeah, Glenbeverley. Yeah,
brilliant.
It was fantastic to see, and you know we actually had 26 schools that signed up. Unfortunately, for various reasons, a few weren't able to make it on the day. But for 21 to turn up, well over 250 kids, and obviously the parents were here to watch as well. It was a wonderful atmosphere. So thanks to everybody who played their part in that, particularly Kim and Delith from the Bromley School Games, who do all the organising.
Man, obviously all of them getting tickets to our festive games, I think.
Yep.
All the way through. I think for the next three or four games they've all received free tickets to those games. So like you say, Matt, hopefully helping us attract that next generation of supporters also.
Absolutely, and I've seen that a few of them turned up to the Oval game actually.
To be fair, even on day I saw a lot of them in Bromley shirts, which was great to see.
It's amazing, yeah, and you know, I think we are really getting to the point now based on the work that we've done with schools, Jeff. You know, we go to some and the kids know who the players are and they're Bromley supporters, and I think we're really starting to come of age in that
it's
sense.
It's just those odd photos. You can get a group photo at the end of a session from sort of 10 years ago and you might spot one Bromley shirt, and that number's just slowly increased.
It is.
The Barcelonas and the Man United tops and the Arsenal tops.
That's
and that.
It.
It's really rewarding to see.
Absolutely fantastic. And we look forward to hosting more events like this. It really is very rewarding. And well done to all the kids who took part as well.
Who won in the end?
I think it was Harris Primary Beckenham were the winners. So good luck to them. They got their trophy, and you can see them celebrating in the video. Actually, it was a penalty shootout, so it was dramatic.
No.
at the final hurdle. So best of luck to all of the teams for their upcoming fixtures in their school leagues. Obviously, from that, Jeff, we moved on to the football under floodlights, as we call it.
Oh, do we have to?
Well, I think we've got to talk about it briefly, haven't
okay.
we? Unfortunately, we don't have the best of luck against Yeovil at home, do we? We lost out to them twice last season, once in the league and once in the cup. And unfortunately, it was a similar story, two worldy strikes, to be fair, I have to say, for the Yeovil goals.
Definitely, I think mistakes... Led, you know, in the build-up led to them. I think obviously a penalty. I mean, the penalty we got, I thought, was incredibly.
I honestly
incredibly
didn't know what
soft.
It was for.
I mean, they'll be given every single week if that's the level of what's expected. But we didn't seem to play with the same amount of energy and aggressiveness we did on Saturday. And it was a real shame. Again, I thought fantastic crowd for the Tuesday night, and again fantastic energy in that second half attacking the north stand. I thought the place was absolutely rocking. And my goodness, we had our chances in that second half. But just really disappointed, Matt. I think just the manner of the defeat,
and especially after such a long unbeaten run, it's tough to take, isn't it? You could see the disappointment on the players' faces.
100%, and that was always going to come. But I think you could the supporters. Oh, saying that, Matt. Obviously, we had the pleasure of welcoming a lot of the school teachers.
We did, and Kim and Delith,
back to the football club in the evening as they were our guests. They enjoyed a bit of hospitality with us upstairs in the venue, which was brilliant. So it was great for them as well to see that side of the football club as well. You know, they've seen us during the day on the community side and obviously supporting the tournament. But then for those same teachers to be here in the evening and see the place for what it really is like on a match day was really rewarding. And I think we've definitely got a few new supporters amongst the local teachers, which is great.
Definitely. But they were all frustrated at full time, weren't they?
Yeah, 100%. And again, it was going to come at some point, unfortunately. You know, like you say, it's been a fantastic unbeaten run in the league. And it's just a shame that the manner of which it's come. But like you say, there's no they won't rest on their laurels. Back to hard work, rest of the week. You've seen it all week in training. The energy levels are there. And obviously they've headed off to Wrexham today, overnight stay, make sure they prepare professionally and correctly for the game. And I've got no doubt they'll obviously go out there on Saturday and do the business, hopefully.
And just picking on one positive, I guess, from that Yeovil game is that Michael Cheek is well and truly back amongst the goals. Obviously went a few games without scoring prior to Saturday, got two then and a further one.
A few? Is it like two games?
I think it was four,
is that
wasn't it?
Is that
four or five, possibly?
Two or three league games, though.
Possibly. One of them was the cup game, I think, so it might be
so
three
funny,
league games.
Exactly a drought, is it?
No, but for a player like Michael Cheek, you're just like, you don't expect it, do you? You just think he's going
to
score every game.
Fair, he's probably the same. He's probably didn't expect it either. I mean,
yeah.
What's his total now?
He's got 14 in all competitions, isn't it, I think? 13 in the league.
November.
So, yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible player. But yes, hopefully he can add to that tally in the game we're going to talk about in a moment. But first, let's hear from Andy Woodman on the events of Yeovil Town and looking ahead to the Wrexham match.
So Andy, a couple of days on now from Tuesday night's game. I think it was fair to say after the game you could see the disappointment in the players.
Yeah, we were disappointed, but I think we'd have been disappointed whenever it came to an end. We give it a real good go, didn't we? Let's be honest, we had a goal that was disallowed, that was over the line. But we haven't got the old goal line technology, which, you know, is a mistake by the linesman and ref, which happens. And we had a few really good chances in reflection. And fair play to Yeovil, you know, they hung in there and done what we've done many a time. So disappointment, but we have to move on quickly.
And we've seen the team go behind in games and show the strength of the character to recover. I guess now it's about transferring that into the next game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I don't want to be a team that sort of gives other teams a bit of a head start and feels like we're getting it back. We want to start getting back to being a bit more solid. Albeit they were two great goals the other night, let's be honest. So, you know, we want to get back to keeping some clean sheets and being a bit more tighter at the back and then sort of taking our chances at the other end.
And of course, Saturday's trip, another tough one, as you say, they're all tough in this league. Away to Wrexham, big crowd expected.
Yeah, I really look forward to these sort of games, bizarrely enough. I actually probably look forward more to these games than the so-called ones we were supposed to win easy, you know. I think this would be a really good game for us. It's always a hard place to go. It has been since I played many years ago. So I'm looking forward to going there. And obviously, Phil Parkinson's someone I've worked with. I know really well. I know exactly all these little tactics he'll be up to. So I'm looking forward to sort of pitting our wits against a really good Wrexham team.
And the support both home and away has been brilliant, hasn't it? And other supporters coach going down to the game on Saturday. And their support will be as important as ever, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, we don't take it for granted. It's a long way to go. It's probably a really early leave for these people. And we'll be trying our hardest for them, and it's really appreciated the support we get home and away, for sure.
And you've had Nathan Tormey in the squad for the past couple of games. It's great to be able to welcome him back to some kind of fitness after quite a long layoff. A very talented player, clearly.
Yeah, Nathan's a great player, and it's just when we get the opportunity to unleash him. I'm sure the other night he probably felt that was a game to unleash him. We tried something different by putting the big fella up top, and in the first 10 seconds it almost come good. Nathan will get his chance. I think we've just got to be very mindful. He's been out a long time, and we've got to make sure we choose the right opportunity and the right moment to sort of get him out on the pitch, and hopefully he'll come through that.
And another talent, Marcus Sadler, of course, signing a new contract earlier on this week, which is great for him. He's done really well.
Yeah, it's great for Marcus, and a deserved contract as well. And I think it's testament to the academy here, you know, the work they're doing. There's a lot of really good players coming through this academy. My job is to put them in and take them out and make sure it's not too early, and make sure, you know, it's the right time. Marcus has been brilliant. He's been in the team, he's around the team, and he's working hard to get back in the team, and that's what we want. So he's a real big talent, Marcus, and look, he'll be a big talent for many years in this club, for sure.
Andy, best luck for the game. We'll catch you after.
Thank you.
We say it every week, but always great to hear from Andy. I think very rarely have I ever seen comments on social media with regards to fans necessarily disagreeing with his take on the game. He always seems to be very fair and very honest and upfront, and yeah, continues to be.
He is. Yeah. I mean, you're never going to get a more honest manager than him. He's also, what I admire about him is when things are going extremely well, and you know, you'd win a game 5-0, he'd still keep his feet on the ground. And I really, really like that. And I really do enjoy our interviews, and it's good to know that most other people enjoy them too. So long may it continue.
I've never asked him if he enjoys being interviewed.
I wouldn't bother.
obviously. Squad update, Matt. It's been a few weeks, to be fair. There's been a few ins and outs, almost sort of behind the scenes, really. I thought now would probably be a good time to summarise events for supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, we've got two players currently on loan at Billericay Town. That's Toby Stevenson and Finlay Lovett. Obviously, the former Toby Stevenson had a period on loan with them, and that has now been extended. So, best of luck to him. Finlay Lovett, of course, came on in the Rotherham match, that's right, and he played towards the end and looked lively, to be fair to him. My best memory so far of Finlay, though, has to be the under-23s fixture, where Bromley were 2-0 down at half-time. He was brought on as a half-time substitute, scored four goals inside 21 minutes, and Bromley won 9-2, which was absolutely just, I've never seen a performance like it. He was exceptional. So really good talent there, who I'm looking forward to seeing develop. And of course then it's Sam Skeffington, who is a really gifted player. I think he's been unfortunate with injuries. He goes on loan to Tennent's Cray Wanderers, and of course he made his debut actually for Cray on Tuesday as they drew 2-2. I think it was with Folkestone, and they drew 2-2 on that night, with former Bromley man Anthony Cook scoring an absolute screamer.
Corey Roberts?
Yeah, so Corey Roberts, his loan with AFC Telford United is up, so he is now back in camp, and we'll wait and see what happens with that one.
Interesting. I think that's everything on that front, Matt.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So, moving away from first team again, the FA Youth Cup. We've got a date. We've got a date in the diary. This is a third round clash, is it?
It is, yeah, and it's against Reading, and we need your support, or the team need your support. I think it's going to be a really good night, and these boys are going to give it a real good go, despite being the underdogs. Of course, as mentioned, Reading are the visitors. They're a Category 1 academy, so they're up there with the very best. £3 is the entry for everybody.
Bargain.
It is, yeah. That includes season ticket holders, as obviously it's an FA competition, not a league match. Under-16s do go free, though, and that is on Thursday, the 9th of December, kick-off 7:45. Bit of a weird one being on a Thursday, but...
Thursday night, football under lights.
Is that a new thing for us now? So I'm sure there's more information about that on the website, and you'll be able to hopefully come down and get behind the boys. There's so much talent here.
We've got to be going for a record crowd for that one, Matt.
Last year was COVID.
I'm trying to think of what game. Maybe it was the previous year.
I think when we had Ben Chorley as manager a few years ago, there was a game against Stevenage. There was a game against Stevenage who were really... I think actually one of Stevenage's players, Ben Wilmot, is now playing in the Premier League, against Bromley on that night. It's incredible.
That was 200, 250, wasn't it, in terms of fans?
I think it was. Let's smash it.
Definitely.
Come on, everyone. Get on down and support these guys.
100%. Thursday, the 9th of December.
Yes, that's right.
7:45, £3 for adults.
Under-16s go free.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Moving on then, Wrexham away is the challenge that awaits Andy Woodman's men, and of course looking for a positive response after Tuesday's defeat. Wrexham will be full of confidence themselves. They got a late 2-1 victory away to FC Halifax Town on Tuesday, and that was courtesy of a 90th minute winner from Paul Mullin, who is their top scorer, and I would guess top earner as well, the fact that he was signed from a League 2 club. So
he was X amount of games away from making... 500 X amount of goals away from making or
honestly,
something.
Honestly, the man is a goal machine. So Bromley have got to be wary of that. But of course, we've got our own goal machine, Jeff. Cheek.
Do indeed.
And Wrexham will have to be wary of that. So I think it's an exciting game in prospect. It should be a good crowd as well. I'm hearing sort of 8,500 potentially, given obviously what's going on at Wrexham with the owners at the minute.
Amazing. So it's about 7,000 of them and then 1,500 Bromley. Fantastic. Superb effort from everyone involved.
A full supporters coach.
Shout out to all of those that are on the supports coach. Let's see you in the morning.
We will see you.
What time are we off?
We're off at 9 o'clock. Or if everyone gets in earlier, maybe a bit earlier, but 9 is the official time.
Get me bottle ready. and then obviously we return home, Matt.
We do, yes. The following week, we, of course, play host to Wealdstone. Tickets are available for that one on our website, and that is a 3 o'clock kickoff. Do hope you can join us for that one. And it'll be nice to be back home. It's always great being at Hayes Lane and watching the team play. So, yeah.
And by the way, depending on the FA Trophy, it might be last home game before Christmas. Zero excuses. You've got to be there.
That's true.
It's a non-negotiable. None of this
absolutely.
All weekend, I've got to go shopping and all of that stuff.
No.
This is potentially our last home game before Christmas.
You might have 2 weeks to do that.
Everybody down here for that game.
We do.
And your reward for that will be festive football for a fiver, Matt, on Boxing Day.
Incredible, isn't it? What a great initiative that is. And I think it's fair to say it's gone down well so far, hasn't it? Obviously, the game at home to Southend United, expecting a really, really
busy...
We've
already sold 1,000 tickets, Matt.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. We're obviously expecting a packed out Hayes Lane.
Oh, I hope
that
it's
day.
A sellout, Matt.
We're, unbelievable.
You know, we're talking, what, we're 4 weeks away? You know, we've got to
and
really,
on the cameras.
Really get everyone behind us. Yeah, and we live on telly, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bonus.
Absolutely superb.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're going to need everyone help to promote that game as well. I think when, for those that do come down on the 4th, there'll be plenty of posters, plenty of literature. We'd love supporters to be able to play their part and take some posters, get some imagery, share it with everybody, friends, family, all of that. Those Premier League and Football League sporting fans that you might know and that who've never watched proper football, get them down here. It's five. What, it's kids for a quid as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
By an adult.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale now. It'd be absolutely fantastic. Like I say, be there for Willstone, potentially the last home game before Christmas. And then obviously a lovely reward on Boxing Day for you and all the family. Hopefully, Matt, we've got the old football inflatable going on as well in the outside area.
Lots of stuff going on.
Craft beer tent out there as well, so that'll be great. So plenty going on, like I say. So... persuade the whole family, get them out. Matt, it's 5:20 kickoff, isn't it?
It is 5:20, yeah, because of the BT Sport coverage.
And by the way, BT Sport costs like £17 a month. It's actually cheaper to come to the game than watch it on telly.
It's cheaper for three adults to come to the game, isn't it, and two kids. So
no brainer. Talking about festive football, Matt, we've got a question of the week, which we haven't had for about a year, I think.
No, the question of the week is back. So our first question of the week is, what should our first question of the week... No, I'm only joking. So question of the week, obviously, with us about to go into the month of December, what has been your favourite festive clash watching Bromley? I know what mine is. Do you know what yours is?
I don't know what my favourite one is, but I remember beating Thurrock here, like 8-1 on Boxing Day, and then maybe going there on New Year's Day and losing or something stupid like that. That was a memorable one, I suppose. Not my favourite, but memorable.
I think for me, it's got to be the Boxing Day win over Sutton. I think it was 5 years ago. Louis Dennis with the last minute screamer and the scenes in the stand. Unbelievable.
That's a very, very good... I don't think I'll top that. I'm going to take this week to think about it.
Well, you've got some time to think about it as well, all of you listening. You can email us podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk with your answers. You can tweet us @BromleyFC using the hashtag RavensWeekly, or you can reply to our social post, and we look forward to hearing from you and reading out some of the answers next week.
Just seen a rainbow, don't we?
There is a rainbow, quite a sizable one actually, with the current weather we've got going on here. Meant to be very cold and windy in Wrexham tomorrow, so wrap up warm, everyone.
that obviously signifies the end of the podcast.
I think that's us, isn't it? We've made it to the end of episode 88. We're getting closer to 100. This is scary.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for putting up with us. Live commentary, Matt, for those that aren't making the game?
Yeah, we'll be on Mixlr, myself and Dan Bentley, as Jeff is leaving us to do other things. That's right. So Dan Bentley and myself will be live on Mixlr from about 2:50 tomorrow afternoon. So if you're unable to make the game, do join us for some radio commentary. We look forward to, hopefully, a good result. Fingers crossed.
Brilliant. See you all there tomorrow, or you'll listen to us again next week.
All the best. Could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.